Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the dock today, Samuel Olson, new information. Second, why I warn you about those dating apps. Third, a Utah man goes to prison for the death of his wife. Wait until you hear why he did it. Fourth, the 14-year-old being charged as an adult pleads not guilty. Fifth, Casey Anthony, we brought you the audio. Now we bring you the video. Sixth, famed defense attorney F. Lee Bailey passes away at 87. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap for our contestants throughout the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Last day on the road today, still here in Houston. That's right, for the Lanier Trial Academy. Really good. This guy is good. He's not a criminal defense attorney, but he is an incredible litigator. He can tell stories, and the way he teaches people how to present in court is amazing. Oh, and by the way, he's only won like $40 billion in jury verdicts and is a billionaire himself. Very impressive guy. I don't know what to say. Worth every penny I paid to come down here for his class. All right. First on the docket, Samuel Olson. That's right. That's the 5-year-old that went missing. And I think yesterday I said that the prime suspect, which was Teresa Balboa, was a stepmother. Well, she's in fact like the girlfriend, but apparently they're engaged. So anyway, if I misspoke, for all those people that corrected me, you're right. I was wrong. And we will call ourselves out when we mess it up. Anyway, for those of you who do not know, Samuel Olson is the Houston boy who was reported missing on May 27th. And now authorities believe that he may have been deceased prior to that. Now, police have released some of the charging documents related to Teresa Balboa, the girlfriend of Samuel's biological father. And during the police investigation into Samuel's disappearance, a roommate reportedly told investigators that he returned home after a phone call and found the child, whose 6th birthday was actually on Saturday. The child was reportedly bruised and unresponsive while he was laying on a bed. The roommate allegedly said he and Balboa moved Samuel's body to a bathtub and left him in there for 2 days. Now, according to court documents cited by police authorities, that the duo then wrapped the boy up in a plastic sheet and placed him in a tote to take him to a storage unit, which is located in Webster, Texas. On Monday, amid the search for Samuel, another male friend received a call from Balboa asking for help. Authorities put this information in the affidavit. The friend allegedly told investigators that he picked Balboa up and the two drove to the storage unit. When they were there, they retrieved a plastic container with a foul odor and transported it to a motel room in Jasper, Texas. Police were directed to that motel room after receiving an anonymous tip via Crime Stoppers. In a news conference on Wednesday, the authorities said that they had found the body, which they believed to be that of Samuel, but they have to have that confirmed by the medical examiner. Balboa, who previously claimed that Samuel had been taken from her, she purported from her Houston apartment, from the biological mother and someone who she said was identified as a police officer. Well, Balboa was arrested when they found the body at the motel and she was there. Now, Samuel's father, Dalton Olson, has not been charged, but he is continuing to face questions from the police. Police have stated that Samuel's biological parents have shared custody of the child. Samuel's mother, Sarah Olson, stated that she is obviously heartbroken and that she misses her baby. She also claims that she had not seen him in some time. So this sounds like a very tragic situation. Obviously, it takes place too many times in communities across the country. As I told you, I've been here in Houston, so I've been doing some little asking of questions to see if anybody has any information down here. I saw one of the local news reports, and they went to the apartment that was occupied below where Samuel lived. She was on the phone with this news report stating that she had heard a child yelling. In fact, she even called her mom. And then on the news report, she picked up the phone, called her mom and said, "Hey, mom, remember that night I called you?" And they said, "It sounded like someone was beating that little boy." Well, yeah, he's now deceased. So oftentimes the case in child abuse cases, people hear something, they don't say anything. And then it's a question of why didn't somebody say something when it wasn't obvious at that time? A tragedy. We'll see how things shake out, whether it's just the girlfriend of the biological father or whether biological father or these roommates are going to be charged with something else. We'll have to wait and see. Next on the docket, why I tell you to be careful about those dating apps. A Dallas man who used dating apps to target gay men in 2017 now faces up to 26 years in prison after pleading guilty to numerous criminal counts, including kidnapping and hate crimes. Daniel Jenkins, 22, accepted a plea deal for masterminding a scheme that targeted gay men on the dating app Grindr. Jenkins is set to be sentenced on October 6th, pursuant to the plea agreement. His guilty pleas to one hate crime count, one hate crime conspiracy count, kidnapping, carjacking, and one count of using a firearm during a crime of violence. Can you say, pack your bags and go to prison? Mr. Jenkins, obviously he had nefarious motives when he and his friends decided to do what they did. But this is the danger of these dating apps. You do not know who you are meeting on the other end, what their intentions are. You should do what you can to check these people out before. I have said it before, it is dating malpractice if you don't check these people out beforehand. All right, let's take a quick break before we get on with the docket.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Next on the docket, Aiden Fucci, the 14-year-old boy who's going to be charged as an adult for killing 13-year-old Tristan Bailey, appeared in court and has entered a plea of not guilty. This is a crime that I think a lot of people are going to watch just for the sheer brutality of it. Fucci allegedly stabbed Bailey 114 times. He bragged about it, told friends that he was going to harm somebody and that he was going to do it soon. When he was arrested, apparently was actually placed in a squad car. Not sure how he did this, but apparently he took a selfie and put it up on Snapchat and allegedly wrote, "Hey, has anybody seen Tristan?" Can you say consciousness of guilt? Can you say an admission? I don't know. I don't think this kid is wired right. We've said it before. Well, obviously given the presumption of innocence, but I think we know how that is going to turn out. All right, next on the docket. The other day, we brought you the 911 call with Casey Anthony, former criminal defendant, found not guilty. Well, she's still making headlines. She was having a little bit of a disturbance with another woman dating the same man that she was dating. At least she's not hanging around with kids, I guess. But either way, what it amounts to is that it's high drama. We brought you the audio the other day. Take a look at the video. You can conclude from the video however you want, but we're bringing it to you. You can decide.
Can I file an incident report?
Sure, what happened?
So I'm still wet. I got a drink thrown at me. This girl has been harassing me for a while. I have her cell phone number. If that helps.
Do you know her name?
Her name is Thelma Moya. Thelma Magali Moya. She goes by Thelma Moya. Yeah.
Okay. And what happened?
She verbally assaulted me, but physically assaulted me with witnesses. I'm so damp from the drink she threw at me.
And why did she throw a drink at you?
We had a verbal altercation outside.
Outside over there?
Yeah.
And elaborate, like what happened?
I dated the same person for a couple years. Malcolm Allison, who's with your department, one of your sergeants. Whether they're together or not together, she got upset that he had texted me. I let her know that he had, and she came inside and threw a drink at me. I try not to make a big deal of things, but she's been a problem in my life for 3 years.
Have you tried?
I've changed her phone number. She's moved near me. She has changed her phone number. It's been a repeated problem for several years. I hate to say it, Malcolm Allison, who's one of your sergeants, would be able to confirm her information. I don't want to get him involved. He's my ex, he's her ex. That's why all of this happened.
Oh, okay. Why don't you file a restraining order?
I didn't have enough to file a restraining order. I had to have actual threats. Her texting was not enough. Her showing up where I was not enough. This is enough. In front of witnesses, it's enough. Her friend was here. Several people that I've known for years are here as witnesses, if necessary. So I'm not trying to file a restraining order. I just want it to stop. And I know a restraining order at most is good for 6 months, and it can go away.
Right. Well, we'll document the incident that happened.
I got it.
And I'll put it as verbal threats, because
you
said that she keeps coming
to
you.
No, and you can tell she threw a drink at me.
But you should definitely, you know, if you're being going through this, we're going
to
follow up on it so we can do something.
I know you need to talk to me, but that girl came in and just fucking...
Wow. I have multiple witnesses.
Here and like,
thank you.
She did nothing. This girl just came in.
Just enjoy your day, okay?
Next on the docket, a Utah man is going to prison for the death of his wife. Let me tell you why he said he did it. Well, this Utah man is named Kenneth Manzanera, and he is from Santa Clara, Utah. And he went on a cruise with his wife. It originated in Seattle on its way up to Alaska. His wife's name was Christy Manzanares, and she was found dead in the couple's cabin at 9:20 p.m. on July 25th of 2017. She had a severe head wound and blood was all over the room, according to the medical staff and police reports. The case was ultimately filed in the United States District Court of Alaska, where Kenneth Manzanera stated at sentencing why he did what he did. And apparently he told witnesses and he told the court he killed her because his wife would not stop laughing at him. Yep. That's the excuse. No indication exactly why she started laughing, but apparently you don't laugh at Kenneth Manzanera's because he will ultimately do bad things to you. I would think that somebody that can lose their temper that quickly, 30 years ought to cool his jets for a little bit, and he'll be too old to get when he gets out from harming anyone ever again. Next on the docket, famed criminal defense attorney F. Lee Bailey is dead at 87. Now, I bring this up. Most people think of F. Lee Bailey as one of the attorneys on the dream team for O.J. Simpson. And if you listen to O.J. Simpson in an interview that he gave, he actually said that it was F. Lee Bailey that really was the mastermind of the case and explained how everything was going to come out. It was his cross-examination of Mark Furman that made that trial go on forever. But it was a turning point where basically the jury believed that the police officer, Mark Furman, was a racist police officer and must have planted evidence. Well, needless to say, F. Lee Bailey had had a lot of criminal cases prior to the O.J. Simpson case. Now, one of his first clients was the neurosurgeon, Sam Shepard, the man whose wrongful conviction inspired a 1960 television series and a 1993 Harrison Ford movie, The Fugitive. Bailey began working on that case after being hired by Shepard's brother in the 1960s to do the appeal. Bailey did right by his adamantly innocent and later legally vindicated client, and Bailey successfully convinced the United States Supreme Court that Shepard had been denied his right to due process. A retrial was ordered, and Shepard was found not guilty. He also represented United States Army Captain Ernest Medina over his alleged responsibility in the My Lai massacre, in which upwards of 500 unarmed Vietnamese civilians were killed. Many of them were women and children under 12. He had a big loss, which was the Patty Hearst case. And Patty Hearst later said that his closing statement was disjointed, and she believed it was because of excessive drinking. Now, I didn't know that many names of criminal defense attorneys growing up, but I remember hearing about F. Lee Bailey. And then a couple of years ago, I was at a conference, and now at the National Trials Lawyers Conference in Miami a couple years ago. And who was there? F. Lee Bailey. I have his book. It's signed. It's in the Crime Talk Studios by F. Lee Bailey. Yes, he was disbarred. Let's throw that out there as well. He had a situation where he was representing a drug dealer and he was holding some stock. And the government knew he was holding some stock. The stock quadrupled. Bailey took what he thought was his fee, about $4.5 million. Needless to say, the government wasn't pleased that they didn't get the money. Ultimately, it led to his disbarment. He tried to get reinstated by passing the bar, but the Maine bar, state of Maine, did not allow him to ever be readmitted to the bar. But I'm telling you, this man, I was able to sit around with him for about an hour or so and basically just hear war stories. And I'm telling you, this guy has been there, done that. Regardless of how things turned out, he was a great criminal defense attorney. So our hats off to F. Lee Bailey. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And I think this may be one of the older contestants that we've had, but it is 70-year-old Jerry Dietrich. And how can a 70-year-old possibly get in trouble, you might ask? Let me tell you how. Well, apparently Jerry Dietrich identifies himself as a Trump guy, and his neighbors identify as a Biden guy. So what did Mr. Dietrich decide to do? That's right. Go over to the neighbor's lawn and defecate in their lawn. This apparently occurred over multiple times and at multiple locations in the yard and some other yards as well. So apparently don't let Mr. Dietrich know that you are not a Trump guy or he will come defecate in your lawn. Mr. Dietrich was arrested, cited for littering. He has an arraignment on June 8th. We'll see if we can follow up on that one as well to see what goes on. Let's do a quick recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the week. Monday, we didn't have one. Tuesday, a drunk 19-year-old in Milwaukee broke into an Airbnb rented out to a bunch of Montana sheriff deputies. He had no recollection of how he got there or where he was. Wednesday, we had Donald Mullins, 44, got caught on video running out of the courtroom, then leaping over the railing, injuring himself when he would rather do that than be sentenced to prison after a jury had found him guilty of burglary. Thursday, we had Michael Jordan, M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, according to the police reports, 33, Michael Jordan, 33, broke through a drive-through window after a skirmish in the drive-through lane, crawled through the window, pushed a 53-year-old employee, and then left. Police gave chase. They had to tase him. He's been charged with resisting, and they believe that he was also under the influence of drugs. In addition to his resisting charge, he has counts of burglary, assault, and resisting times three. Those are the dumb criminal contestants of the week. Please vote below. Let us know who you think should be crowned the winner. The winners will get sent to them at no charge, a Crime Talk mug. But as always, if you would like Crime Talk gear without having to become a dumb criminal contestant, simply hit the link below and get that cool Crime Talk gear now. There's some new stuff that's up. I really think you'll like it. All right. That's all we have for you today. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. And we'll be back in the studio next week.